Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations.
I am dying to talk to Elena Mensur with Nijma M. Fine Jewelry. She's wearing the jewelry in the studio today. I'm just going crazy. I'm so jealous. It's gorgeous stuff. So hi, welcome.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you so much.
Tell us how you got started. What's special about your jewelry? Mm-hmm.
So how I got started. So my formal training is actually, I'm a naturopathic doctor. So it's in a completely different arena, completely different field. But there was a part of me, there was this artistic, creative side that wasn't getting the outlet that I felt like it needed. And I've always been fascinated with jewelry. I grew up in a Middle Eastern household. I'm Lebanese. So in that culture, I think there's a lot of appreciation for fine jewelry and jewelry in general and the celebration of its craftsmanship and everything that kind of revolves around it. So I was inspired by, I remember my mom used to always wear this beautiful blue topaz pendant, and it had a beautiful thick yellow gold bezel around it. And she'd wear it every single day. And it was like a bold piece. She'd wear it with this braided gold chain with a big spring ring in the front. It was just, they went together really nicely. And I remember she'd wear it every day. And it served as inspiration, as almost like to celebrate the everyday with the pieces that you love. And jewelry has such a personal connection for people, right? That it often holds memories or stories, or it was gifted to you by someone special to you, or you gifted it to yourself. You bought it for yourself, right? Or to mark a special occasion. So that really inspired me to kind of move into this direction. I love how when you bring different concepts together, whether different aesthetic styles or different just ideas in general, how that creates this duality. You know, Nijma M, I want to celebrate that and the magic that comes from bringing different aesthetics together, specifically for jewelry. I want the pieces, I want the wearers to be inspired by them, to wear them, to style them the way that they love to style them, that expresses their, you know, their expression, their own self-expression. And it's that, you know, those pieces that they can come back to all the time. They're sophisticated, they're classy, they're timeless, but they also have this little bit of this modernness to them. They're a little ritzy, they're a little cool, and bringing that together to create this idea of this modern opulence meant for everyday wear.
That sounds great. What was designing your first piece of jewelry like?
It was so exciting, to be honest with you. It was so exciting. I sat pencil and paper, and I'd taken a course through GIA, through their, you know, their continuing education, and so, you know, I was able to get some of the fundamentals, the basics. And I remember I sat down with sketch pad and a pencil, and I just started. I let my imagination do its thing. And I think that that's really important in entrepreneurship in general, to kind of let your creativeness flow regardless of what kind of industry that you're in. So I remember sitting down, and one of the first things I sketched was a hand chain. I wanted something that was unique, that was kind of, you know, spoke to my culture a little bit as well. Something that was aesthetically pleasing, but still practical for everyday wear.
Elena Mensur, she has these earrings that I can't, it's hard to describe, but they kind of go up your earlobe, but she has like a bobby pin on the back of it, so it stays in place. So how did you come up with that?
This is an earring, it's a crawler, an ear crawler basically, or an ear climber. So I wanted to design kind of that style of earring. And I remember sitting down, and I've seen some, you know, in person, and I've tried them on. They just didn't sit the way that I wanted. You know, they didn't sit on the ear properly, or then they'd fall because it kind of climbs up your earlobe a little bit. And so when I was designing these specifically, the back here, it's a long post back. So, you know, normally if you're wearing a stud, you have a post back and there's a butterfly and it holds it in your ear. Mm-hmm. So I wanted something that was going to follow the contour of the earring, basically follow the contour of the ear so that it sits on the ear so that it's not moving. You can be exercising, you can be bending down, you can be whatever you're doing, and it's not moving. And that was important. That was an important part of that practicality piece to make sure that they're going to stay where you put it, that they're going to stay where you have placed them on your ear.
Yeah, I think it's ingenious.
Oh, thank
Brilliant.
You. Thank you.
I love what you said earlier about like the personalization and like the connection between people and their jewelry. So a little fun fact about Elvis Presley. He yes. used to wear all of his jewelry in his house, like all the time, like whether he had
that.
A company. I love that too, right?
yeah.
Curious about like yes. personalizing jewelry. Do you do personalized like collections in terms of like connecting someone to a particular piece? Do you do particular designs? Like how does your whole design process work?
So if, you know, if a client came to me and they said, we want to do something custom and we want to incorporate a type of stone, for example, because it means something to me, we would absolutely work and make sure that they got exactly what they wanted to create that custom piece. Right now, I'm designing the collections. Every piece has a story, or every piece, you know, something has inspired me to kind of make them. So I think part of the allure of jewelry, I think, and the storytelling that comes with it, I think part of it is the backstory of the piece and of the designer and why they designed it. But it's also what adds to the story, I think, is that cherry on top is that what it means to the wearer, right? And they add then their own meaning to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That part is so beautiful, I think, when it comes to jewelry.
I agree. I have this one necklace. I'm not wearing it today, but I wear it a lot, that Richard bought for me, I don't know, 15 years ago? A long time ago. Anyway, and we went on a trip, and I thought I had lost it.
Oh, no.
I know, because I didn't wear it every day. And I just kept, something kept telling me, look in the suitcase again, look in the suitcase. And anyway, I found it. I almost started crying. I mean, it was a huge emotional moment.
Absolutely.
To realize I still had this necklace that I love. I get a lot of compliments, and people are always asking me if they can have it. And I still don't know. But I love that you use so much blue topaz and gold together. I Thank love you. That combo.
It's a great combination. And the inspiration for me for the blue topaz was, again, the piece that my mom wore all the time. And I think it was like a dedication to her, if you will. The Evil Eye necklace that I'm wearing, too, the stone in the center is a blue cabochon, the way that it's cut. It's called cabochon, blue topaz stone. So I wanted certain pieces to have that as well.
Your ring is great.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would encourage people to go on the website. What is the website quickly?
It's Nijma M, so N-I-J-M-A, then the letter M, finejewelry.com.
And how did you get that name?
So Nijma is actually my middle name.
Oh.
Okay. And it's Arabic and it means star. I wanted it a piece of my cultural background because it was such a part of the story for establishing the jewelry line. So that's where that comes from.
Well, the jewelry business is pretty competitive. I think you have to have a lot of courage and confidence to get into it, right? Because
Absolutely.
You're competing against other famous designers and big jewelry houses with big budgets. And I mean, were you ever nervous about getting into the business?
Absolutely. Like, I still to this day will wake up sometimes and think, what have I done? But like in a way that almost still fuels me to keep going. It takes time. First of all, it's discoverability, right? To make sure that your target market, your clientele, you know, who you're trying to reach knows you, right? That's a huge part of it. And that takes time, especially when you're trying to build a luxury brand. It's a huge roadblock. Absolutely. In Canada specifically, people love the big names and the big names are great. Don't get me wrong. But other parts of the world, they like the small, independent, you know, that have a little bit of a different story to tell. Which is nice. So it's absolutely full of challenges. It's very, very competitive. We're also in very interesting economic times. So that also adds a little bit as well.
Well, when we were on our pre-call, you were talking about Canadian diamonds, that you were using Canadian diamonds in your jewelry. I didn't know Canada had diamonds.
Yes.
And so
we do.
Tell us a little about that.
Sure. So that's actually my upcoming collection, which should be out hopefully about a month and a half. From now, there's no set definition for sustainability. So it's always this ongoing process. So part of that, I think, and kind of sitting down and really trying to figure out what I wanted for this next collection, I was like, you know what? The Canadian diamonds are, they're not spoken about.
Are they white diamonds?
They are.
Okay.
Yes, they are. So we have a handful of diamond mines in the Northwest Territories, north of the country. It's so fascinating. The diamonds, you know, the color, the cut, the clarity are often a little bit of a higher quality than others. Of course, you have variability, normal variability. Every Canadian diamond also has a laser inscripted identification number. So the traceability of that diamond is basically from mine to customer because they are all certified. Canadian diamonds. So you know where they're coming from, which is a great part to add to the sustainability piece. I think it's being as transparent as you can when it comes to the sustainability piece. But yes, Canadian diamonds, I'm so excited to feature them. And part of being a Canadian brand, I wanted to bring as many of those elements in as possible as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. I'm sure it's great for your customers in Canada. They can take a certain amount of pride in sort of supporting the local diamond jewelry industry.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And I think one of the mines up north, the De Beers Group, is actually a large partner in that mine, owning that mine with another Canadian company. And so it's nice to see that, you know, there are different large players in the industry that are seeing the value.
Same grading system as other diamonds?
So you can still have them GIA, for example, GIA certified, Canadian diamonds as well. And then there's that extra kind of Canadian certification. There are different companies that will do it, similar to GIA, but more specifically for Canadian diamonds. It comes with a certificate like GIA, and it'll specifically show you that inscription number. And that that laser inscribed number in the diamonds is only seen with magnification.
Nijma M. Fine Jewelry. How are you marketing this? How are you getting the word out?
So right now it's mainly social media, some PR, you know, being featured in some gift guides, which has been really great. Recently in Fashion Canada in the recent April issue, which was fantastic.
Are there other places you're selling?
And on First Dibs as well.
Okay.
Online with First Dibs. It's a process for sure, right? And finding kind of the right way to get to your customer.
How many pieces do you make? So like those earrings that I'm in
yes.
love with. How many sets of those do you have?
So right now these ones. So the first manufacturer that I use, actually most of the pieces from my first collection were made here in New York City, which was very exciting. Some manufacturers have a minimum order quantity. So that means you have to order a certain amount, and it differs from between fine jewelry and costume jewelry. So these specific pieces, I have about 5 left. So now also as part of that sustainability piece is also switching the business model to make to order. Every piece is made to order, 2 weeks. Everything is handmade from a team in Montreal that I've been working with for the last couple of years. And I've had the pleasure of going to see them in person and to see how they do. Everything is in-house, which I love.
I did want to ask you a question about your new line that you're launching soon.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So our new collection is going to feature recycled 18 karat yellow gold, featuring the Canadian diamonds that we've been speaking about. And what I've been wanting to do with those diamonds, and I've been, you know, speaking with the manufacturers with this, we're going to reverse set them. So they're round cut diamonds, round brilliant cuts, and we're going to reverse set them, which means that the cullet, which is the pointy part of the diamond, is going to be facing upward. You know, for example, one is a tennis necklace. So instead of having the stone set normally in the tennis necklace, they're going to be set the other way. So you're still going to get the brilliance of the diamonds, but just from a different angle. And I think a diamond itself has its angles are all beautiful, and they all kind of tell a story in a sense. So now you get to see it from the other point of view, and it gives it a little bit of a modern feeling as well.
That's creative.
That's really cool. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. I'm excited for the launch of it.
It's a look, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a look. Still kind of that classic, you know, diamonds and gold. That's like the classic combination, right? But just set a little bit differently.
So do you ever ask influencers to wear your jewelry? Like, is that one avenue you would pursue?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is your website again?
Nijma M. Fine Jewelry. Nijma FineJewelry.com.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinators Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.